Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Bigamex Radio Podcast. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and this episode is brought to you by Racetech. Racetech suspensions and engine, and if you enter now or you sign up now, you can possibly make yourself available for the seminars, engine seminar, and the suspension seminar that Racetech holds every single year. You can start a business, you can learn more about your motorcycle, you can master this stuff and just get more throttle therapy with Racetech. You can also save money with Racetech if you mention Bigamex Radio when ordering gold valves, or I believe most certified service centers should also give you a little bit of a help out with that if you mention Bigamex Radio. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the podcast for the very first time, because we're actually talking for the very first time, really excited to talk to this kid. He's been absolutely ripping it up lately here in Manitoba. Not enough people talk about Manitoba Moto, so that's why we're doing it right now. Ryder Profanik, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Second generation motocross superstar here from Manitoba. We're going to dive into the nuts and bolts of it, but I guess the story begins with the fact that I know your dad quite well. I've known your old man since I was about 9 years old. He rode in the intermediate and pro classes locally, a star of a lot of the jump shows. I believe, I know both you and your brother can do the heel clickers. I got to imagine dad was doing those back in the day, as well as the knack-knacks and all that. So, before we get into, Ryder Profanik, let's talk about Dennis a little bit. Tell me a little bit about your old man.
Well, yeah. So like he had like a CR60 growing up as a kid. Just didn't get into racing. He was telling me that he found a flyer somewhere, like about Manitoba Motocross, and then decided to go to the race. And he started racing at about 14. And then, he just kind of stick with that his whole life, and he's still racing to this day. So about 45 years old, racing the plus 40 and plus 30 class.
45 years old. Yeah, I would have met your dad when he was not a whole lot older than you are now, honestly. Yeah. He was maybe in his early 20s. Always a guy who's so passionate about the sport. There's been times in his life where he's been able to be at the track more than he has at other times. He's had big injuries. I've literally watched your old man's bike fall out of the sky with him on it at Pilot Mound coming over the finish line. When that thing locked up solid. Like some scary moments. Motocross has a way of kind of running us through the ringer at times, but like I said, you're a second generation rider. You benefit from the fact that your dad has rode and still rides. So we got you into it at a young age. How did you fall in love with the sport though? We talked off air about you riding a P-Dub back in the day. Dare to say that you don't remember a time when you didn't have a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's right. I got my first dirt bike about 2 years old. I had a TTR 50. My dad put some training wheels on it. I just ripped that in the driveway. And then just watching my dad go in the track, grew up. And then I remember my first race was at Zota on my PW 50, about 4 years old. And I just said to my dad, I want to race. And then did my first race and I've been doing it ever since.
There you go. Yeah, no kidding. You would have been coming to the races as early as, well, what year were you born?
I was born in 2010.
Yeah, 2010. So yeah, and that's so funny because I was obviously still racing at the time and everything. That is so funny. But, so it's for you, it would safe to say that motocross is essentially a way of life. Like you don't really know any other. Are you a multi-sport athlete though? Like do you other, I see a snowboard behind you. Like, what else do we do to stay active?
Well, yeah, I do some snowboarding in the wintertime when I'm not on the bike. I don't really do any other sports, but yeah, just snowboarding and going to the cabin and just doing water skiing, wakeboarding, stuff I like.
There you know. That's awesome, dude. So, and you also have had the opportunity to ride in the KJSC, if I'm not mistaken. Did you and your brother get to do it or just you?
The Supercross?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got to do that in Glendale 2018.
That's right.
My brother didn't get to do it because of like COVID. Yeah. So like I got to do that. That's a pretty cool experience for me.
That's crazy to think of that your brother's on a 250F now and that during COVID he would have been eligible to ride a 50.
Yeah.
Those two time periods don't seem far enough apart, but yeah, here we are. And like I said, you are like you're also you got a brother that races. Tell me a little bit about sort of like being the older brother, leading the way, so to speak. I don't think there's a big age gap between you, but tell me a little about that dynamic.
Well, I can tell you he's chasing me. I got to keep getting better each time because I know he's coming. So I got to keep getting better and better because I can't let my brother, little brother, one out me. So it's got to get better.
Are we at this point, lap time wise, do we still have him on a regular basis, or are there days when he might have a little more sauce?
No, I think I still got it over him, but sometimes, like, man, he pushes me sometimes.
Fair
when
enough.
He's on, he's on.
Has your dad regaled you of some of the stories from yesteryear of some brothers that used to race together? Oh, there's actually lots of them. The Gertsen brothers, the Penner brothers. The ones that I come to mind that were young, kind of coming out of the same area that you lived in, actually, which is the LeBee brothers, Kyle and Justin LeBee. Justin still rides. I don't know about Kyle, but those two literally used to scream at each other in the corners. Like they were going to saw off each other's front end and get out of my way. They did. It was everything. That was a huge part of, Manitoba Motocross back in the day. Did your dad ever tell you about stuff like that?
No, he didn't tell me about that. No.
God damn it. Come on, Dennis. You got to get on the Manitoba Motocross history here. This is important stuff. But, so who did you look up to growing up?
Probably riding Nav because, remember being at, his track there on a 50, like PW 50. I remember he's throwing fat whips on a Superman. I thought that was pretty cool.
Made you want to throw fat whips on a Superman?
Yeah. Basically, like, how I just watching him made me, try harder, try to get better. Looked up to him as a kid.
So for you, how important is having a track like Grunthal? That does a groomed practice Wednesday nights. You can get consistent riding time on a track that you're familiar with. Yes, they make changes here and there, but dollars to donuts, it's probably the most regularly prepped track with good conditions available within a reasonable distance of Winnipeg for Manitoban racers. That's pretty much it. Just tell me a little bit about how big a part that track has played in your development.
Well, yeah, I go there like every single Wednesday. Like, I don't really miss Grunthal practice unless I'm super busy with like work or whatever. But yeah, like that track, I've been riding that track for like so many years, probably like 10 years. Yeah, about 10, 11 years now. Definitely one of my favorite tracks.
What is, since you've been riding it a long time, and I've been riding it since 1998, which is the first year they had it, me and your dad, you do a podcast just on that layout alone. What is your favorite change they've made in the last 10 years? And what is your least favorite change they've made that at this point is hopefully gone?
My least favorite change is probably because, like, I liked how fast the track was before. It kind of slowed it down, but like I kind of got used to it now. Like, I didn't like the changes before, but now like I've been riding it for like 2 years since they made those changes. I like the track now. Probably my favorite change has to be getting rid of those concrete starts, put the grid down. That's way better.
Is that new? That must be this year because I haven't been there. Is that what they put
in? Oh yeah, that was last year they made that change.
Okay, no doubt. Oh, good for them. Yeah, for those who don't know, Grunthal has had and always has had a concrete starting pad, and that thing is slicker than grease snot. You just light up tires on that thing and pray that eventually you find traction of some sort. And then obviously that corner is also happens to be every year there's always a million crashes in that first corner because it's a hairpin corner that like some guys swing out wide, some guys get pushed wide, and some guys hit the binders and just go straight over the bars. Grunthal's first corner. I love it because I always got a good jump, but if you didn't get a good jump, you're either a passenger or probably just crashing.
Yeah.
Crashing.
Sure.
So, how's the season been for you so far? A little birdie told me that you've only lost the one moto.
Yeah, one moto, and I think I could have won that. I was in the lead, basically. It's the first corner, and I got hit, and I lost my foot peg. someone ripped it right off, and I had to finish the moto without a foot peg just to get some points.
Good Lord. How did you find riding without a foot peg? That's got to make landings and any type of like balance work, like manualing things would just be not really an option. Tell me about it.
Well, I tried to like, at first I was like, oh, I don't want to lose the race. Cause like I was like undefeated up until then. So I just tried to figure out like, how am I going to still win this race without a foot peg? Cause like it ripped off the mount and everything. And then I finally was like, oh, no, I cannot jump like this. This is dangerous. So I just kind of just rode my race, kind of rolled every single jump just to get some points. I won the first moto. It was like my last race of the day. So I went 1-1 in one of my motos, and then I went 1, and then I got like 11th. I finished 4th overall in that. So I did get some good points. Versus like if I went off the track and just went back and gave up, but just don't like giving up like that when I have a championship on the line, I get some points.
Yeah, I think that sort of speaks to the grit that you ride with, your dad has always ridden with, and your brother rides with as well. We talked about this a little bit off air. One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the podcast, just sort of shed some light on the fact that you and your brother both ride with a certain doggedness, a determination, a won't be denied body language that I've honestly recognized within you two. Since you guys were on 60s, we're talking back probably all the way back to probably right around 2017. And it's just progressed through. And as you guys have progressed, I think you guys have sort of sharpened that edge as well, to sort of kind of like ride on the edge of what aggressive riding can be and be able to use that as sort of your advantage is sort of, I think it makes space for yourself, you out on the track. I think it definitely is an intimidation factor for some of your competition. Probably like, heck, your brother probably uses it on you. And, yeah. I wonder just sort of how you've developed that, and sort of how you harness it and control it, because, controlled aggression is maybe the most difficult thing in sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I just like my favorite rider is Hayden Deegan. I just like it works with him, so I gotta kind of try that. His aggressive riding is definitely something I look at and try to like perfect. I don't like taking people out or anything, but definitely like high revs, like trying to like scare your competition by them making mistakes or whatever. Just like something that works really good. And you can make good passes like that. It's being aggressive.
Do you feel like in order to like a sort of race that way or to be at your best and to utilize that to the best of your ability, do you kind of have to go into like sort of like a zone of like sort of like it's a mindset, it's tenacity, it's all of those things? Like and how do you get there?
Yeah, I would just say like I put my AirPods in before the race. I'm just getting pumped up. I'm getting my adrenaline going.
What are you listening to?
Oh, just like 6ix9ine, bro. Just like listen like Gummo, like stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Just like
okay.
Getting pumped up. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Like getting pumped up for those races.
And then who goes to the line with you? Dad?
Oh, yeah, my dad. And then he'll help pack my gate and stuff like that.
So does dad do anything to get you fired up, get you focused?
No, he just kind of just, I just keep that to myself. I just put those AirPods in and zone everything else out.
Do you ride with AirPods?
No, I do not.
Fair enough. I was going to ask. So, geez. Fair enough. So volume's cranked. We're getting in the zone. If we're like having an off day, what is the go-to song? We're like, what's a get right song for, Ryder Prophetic?
It changes all the time. Like,
mm-hmm.
I just kind of stick to my routine in the morning, and like I don't really feel off on race days. I just feel like I'm always on it, especially this year. I don't know, just again like that Gummo song, bro, that gets me going.
Fair enough. So I guess all I have for you now is what kind of advice do you have for young athletes that may come across this podcast and are looking to take their riding to the next level?
Well, for sure, like a family that's supportive, and someone that like pushes you hard to like a mentor or whatever, just help you get better and better each weekend or whenever you're riding. Always try new things, like if that's lines or new technique, it's always good to try. I feel like that's something I try to learn this year, try new stuff that I haven't really done in the past. That's like giving me some better advantage.
Right on, dude. Well, I really appreciate you. I know you got an impressive list of sponsors that grows every single year, as well as thanking mom and dad. So shout out some sponsors and we'll let you get on with the rest of your evening.
All right. I'd like to thank Capital Motorsports, Flow Vision, Vertex, EK, and then ARC Levers.
Right. Do you just have the, do you know Nick McBride at Flow Vision, or you just have the sponsor house there?
No, I just apply for my sponsorship there.
Okay. Well, I will text him about getting some more stuff. Come on, Nick, you got to send some more stuff out. I know he listens. So, thank you so much for coming on, dude. This has been an absolute pleasure. Good to get to know you a little bit. And now I know who to come to for some pointers when I eventually show up to Grunthal with my three-lap hero motos and then pretend like either I have a bike issue or I do, in fact, get an arm pump. So, yeah, we'll see you at the track.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time, buddy.